Here, I ask a continued interest in your prayers this morning. I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. So we were reading and pondering and studying this week. This passage just settled in our heart, and it's a familiar passage. So I pray that the Lord will bless us to see it in a fresh way this morning. But it's one of the many places in Scripture. I just kind of was noticing the other day as I was reading through, and I looked through, and there's many places in the New Testament especially where Jesus simply said, follow me. Follow me. Now, not every time follow me is mentioned in the New Testament is it Jesus speaking, but just about every time, follow me. Now, surely we know what that means. Surely we know exactly how to do that. That's what being a disciple is all about, isn't it? Following Jesus. Being more like him. I remember on one occasion, and this just came to mind, so I don't remember exactly. Jesus spoke about his disciples following him in the regeneration. Now, that's one of those followings that we don't really have any control over, do we? That he is the one that causes that to happen. Now, that regeneration, not only does it require a person to be regenerated, born of the Spirit, but there was a new order of things that Jesus set up with the New Testament church. And I appreciate so much in Brother Elvin's prayer, and thanking the Lord for this privilege that we have of the church. I hope that we take it and consider that on a regular basis. What a privilege that is, that the Lord has blessed us to know him, that he's blessed us with a church to worship him, and that he's blessed us with the opportunities to come together with some of his people to praise and adore our Lord, to be a mutual encouragement and comforter to one another, and then to leave here refreshed and be able to face what we have to face in the world each day till we have another opportunity to meet together. I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 9. Perhaps you found it by now if you're going to turn to it. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to begin in verse 23. Jesus says, and he said to them all. I'm going to have to stop right there. He said to them all. If you just read Luke, you might think that he's only talking to his disciples. But if you go compare this to Mark chapter 8, where this passage is also mentioned, we'll find that this was a time when, let me just very, very quickly here, read Mark chapter 8, verse 34. In Mark's account of this, and by the way, when you read the scriptures, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you only read one account of something, what you'll read is the truth, but it's not all the truth, is it? You know, we have this expression nowadays, too much information. You know, sometimes when you're talking to some folks, they just give you too much information. Well, I don't say that the Bible ever does that, but when you're making a point, you don't always say everything about the situation. And so that's what's good about reading and comparing the four accounts of the gospel. You'll find that there's details in some that's not given in others. And when you compare them all, you get a better idea of the whole picture than you would from just reading one. So again, if you're just reading Luke, you'd think that perhaps when he says he said unto them all, that he might be referring to all of his apostles. But we find that in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples." All right, so I think that establishes for us that when he says he said unto all the people, that he's referring not only to those who are already following him, but anyone who has an interest in following the Lord, that invitation is there, isn't it? All right? So he says in verse 23, I'm back in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That word "daily" is primarily why I like to go to Luke's account of this passage, because it reminds us that this is something that we need to do on a regular basis. All right? It's not a one-time thing. It's not just like repentance. There may be that initial repentance that we have, but there's things that we need to repent of on a regular basis, isn't there? All right? So when Luke gives us this, he says, "Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." There's much more there that we'll try to deal with today, but I wanted you to get what Jesus is saying about discipleship here in this passage. There's a matter of following him. There's a proper way to follow him. There's a commitment that we need to make to follow him. It's something we need to do on a regular basis. It's something that we need to give priority to. It's something that we realize that except the Lord had had mercy upon us, we wouldn't have any desire to follow him. We wouldn't have any love for him. We wouldn't have any interest in thanking him for all the blessings that he so graciously gives us each day. And so discipleship is something that needs to be a priority in our life. Okay? Now, he realizes that we have responsibilities and things like that, but we can go about it as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Luke 9, verse 23, he said to them all. So it's not limited to just his apostles, all right, to all the people that were there. And he says, if any man will come after me. Now, we've talked about this, quoted this many times, and we understand that what that means, if any man will come after me, Jesus is, it's as if he's saying, if any man will be like me. Now, when you think about it in those terms, then you realize the need for us to grow in our ability to follow, doesn't it? If we're going to be like him, you know, children are so cute, aren't they, when they're little? Oh, I know they're still cute when they get older, but there's just something about those little babies, isn't there? And as cute as they are and as precious as they are and as wonderful as it is to see those first things that they do, you want them to grow. Don't you know the Lord wants us to grow also in our ability to follow him? As a disciple, my favorite definition of disciple is a disciplined learner. And we'll be learning until he comes again, won't we? There's plenty for us to learn about following him. So just because we're familiar with this passage, don't think that it's not something here for us to grasp, something for us to consider, something for us still to enlarge upon our abilities to follow him in a more pleasing way each day. And so the first thing he said is, if any man will come after me, all right, so that, I would stop right there and ask, why would we? Why would we follow Jesus? Well, that seems obvious, doesn't it? Well, not to everybody. Why would we have a desire to follow the Lord? Because he's had mercy upon us. He's blessed us with something that's not of us. It's something that had to come from him. When he gave us his love and he gave us faith and he's given, planted that hope within us. And as we understand all that he came and by his grace and mercy and all the sufferings that he endured on our behalf, what he accomplished for us. Is there anyone else you'd rather follow? Can anyone else do anything better than that? No. So we understand that. If we would just stop and as we're going through the passage here, as we examine, why would we do that? Why would we follow him? If any man will follow, come after me, okay? Why would we? Because he's done so much for us. Oh, when we can think about that every day, think about his mercy, think about the provisions that he so graciously blesses us with. As David said, he daily loadeth us with benefits. See, if we're not thinking about those things, we might not be so diligent in following. But if we are mindful of his blessings, if we are mindful of his goodness, if we are mindful of the fact that if he had not done that for us, we would not have that desire in the first place. Then we want to know him better. We want to come after him. We want to be more like him as we walk in this life. So when we think about this, why would we follow him? That implies, if any man will come after me, that implies to us that we're leaving something about what we are and want to learn more about being more like him. In other words, there's some things about us that needs to change, isn't there? Now, we don't really like a lot of change, do we? We like things to stay, you know, we're creatures of habit. Be they good or bad, we're creatures of habit. But you know what? Discipleship is continually calling upon us to change. That's why we have to press into the kingdom. It takes energy to press in, because if we don't, then we're going backwards, because the world is certainly going to be pressing against us. The world is going to be wanting to squeeze us into its mold. So we need to be mindful of his goodness and mercy and press into the kingdom to try to be more like him. So there's some changes needed. I think I've shared with you before, but going out of Dothan up to toward Midland City, up on the right, there's a church up there that on their marquee one time they used to say, or they used to have the saying on their marquee that said, come as you are, but expect to change. I thought that's a good thought. It's a good thought. Even though we may have been coming to this place for many, many years, there's still things for us to learn. There's still other things for us to grow in as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be, if any man will come after me, the implication is there's a willingness to follow him, and there's a need for change. I need it. I suspect you do too. Okay? All right, will we take the time? If we recognize then that there's a need for us to grow, a need for us to make some changes, a need for us to move closer to the Lord, Then are we going to take the time for the prayer and reading the word and asking for the Lord to search me and know my heart and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting? That's what we need each day, isn't it? So it's going to take some effort. Unfortunately, it's going to take some time too, isn't it? You know, time's a precious commodity, isn't it? All right? But we have to realize, just like Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to what? His own way. Think about that for a second. We've all gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. Do you know that's the natural tendency? To take care of number one. Take care of ourselves. Be wrapped up in our own little world. That's the natural tendency we have. That old nature of ours, that's the tendency we have. And so when we hear Christ saying, if any man will come after me, then we have to understand then that there's some turning that needs to happen, because the natural tendency, the old man within us, wants to stay where we are, or at least do the things that self wants us to do. And the Lord is calling upon us to be more like him. So if any man will come after me, if any man will be like me, he gives us some requirements. But listen, what I've already talked about is the first requirement. That willingness to recognize the fact that we, of our own inclinations, would go astray. But we want to follow him. All right, so what does he say? If any man will come after me, what's the first requirement? We've already touched on it, haven't we? Let him deny himself. There is where the battle begins. Every day, that's where the battle rages. That's where the choices are made. Am I going to do what I want to do? Or am I going to seek the leadership of the Spirit of the Lord? It's really that simple, isn't it? And if we're not going to do that, we need not continue in the rest of this. Because there is where the choice is made. And so when we understand how good the Lord is and how merciful he is and how that he will give us the strength and the grace that we need when we're turning to him, he's not expecting us to do this in our own strength. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, but he's merciful, he's kind, he's gracious, he's good, he's loving. And all the things that he is and so much more. When we try to follow him, he's right there to help us, to give us strength, to cheer our heart, to help us, to give us wisdom and instruction, guidance, and the leadership of his Spirit, comfort, whatever we might be facing at the time. He's able, because he knows exactly what we need, and he's able to provide every bit of it. So we're not talking about trying to accomplish some worldly pursuit where it's all up to you. The Lord loves us. He's already demonstrated his tremendous love for us, hasn't he? Sending his son to this world. And Jesus has already demonstrated his willingness to die, to suffer tremendously and die in our room instead. And so he doesn't call upon us to do those things that he had to suffer, the crucifixion and all of that. He faced that in our stead. But he simply says, if any man will come after me, eventually he's going to say, follow me. Let him deny himself. We talked about when he said, if any man will come after me, why would we? Well, when he says, let him deny himself, why should we? Well, you know the answer to that too, don't you? We have this old flesh nature about us. This old flesh nature wants to take care of number one. But the Lord calls upon us to seek His face, His loving counsel, and to be a blessing to others. Have you ever stopped to think about how much of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is directed toward for us to be considerate of others? That's exactly what He did when He came into this world. He didn't come to do something for Himself. He came to do for us. And He calls upon us to do the same thing, to be considerate of others. So first of all, we've got to deal with self. We've got to get self out of the way, don't we? Now, you're never going to do that totally, but you need to work on it. All right? So when He says, let him deny himself. It's interesting. I was reading one of the commentators about this statement that Jesus made. And you know, I hesitate to bring in stuff that's not in the Bible. You know, somebody said, where'd you get that? Out of the Bible. Had to get it out of the Bible because it's not in the Bible. All right, so I'm hesitant to bring those things in, but it was interesting that, you know, the Jews, for all those years that they had the law service, they had, when somebody would convert over to being a Jew, become a proselyte, okay, there was some requirements expected of them. And those requirements line up precisely with what Jesus is saying here as being a disciple of His. Now, there shouldn't be any surprise there. But what my point is that if the Jews required that in the Old Testament religion, how much more does Jesus have the right to require that of us today to follow this pattern so that we can be faithful to Him? We've got something far better than they had under the law service. And so it lines up perfectly, and perhaps He had that in mind when He made this statement. But it means so much more for Him to say it us following Him, than it does for some Old Testament set of requirements to be under their system of worship. Even though it was divinely given of the Lord, and when they did it, when they did it the right way, it pleased the Lord. But what I'm saying is how much better we have it today that when we follow these requirements that Jesus gave us, we're following Him, we're being more like Him, we're bringing more glory and honor to God in doing so. Not just aligning ourselves with a religion. So when He says, let him deny himself, those people that were becoming proselytes and coming over to becoming a Jew, all right, they were expected to renounce all that was false about their former religion. Now you think about that for a moment. Denying self. You know, if you've stopped and thought about it very much, you understand that the way God made man, He's going to worship something, isn't He? We're going to worship something. That's just part of the way we're made. Now, we're made to worship God. All right? But apart from that saving grace and that knowledge of Him, man's going to worship something. And it ought, no matter what, whether it's something carved in stone, whether it's wood, whether it's anything else, what it boils down to is worshiping self. Because all idols and false gods are the imagination of the minds of men. And so all of idolatry amounts to worshiping self, worshiping the God that they want. And isn't idolatry rampant today, with people wanting to worship the God that they want instead of the God that He is? So Jesus said this requirement just early on, and what He's saying about this is, let him deny himself. Now, that takes some understanding of just what He's talking about here of denying self. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy the things that are available to us in this world. But it does require us to consider Remember when we said those choices that we need to make every day? Whether we're going to choose ourselves or whether we're going to choose to follow the Lord. All right, those choices that we make every day. There are things in this world that can get between us and worshiping God. All right, so denying self is a matter of denying those things that will hinder us in our fellowship with God and following closely with Him. You know, because He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So He's not saying that we can't, you know, you've got to have nothing and deny yourself of everything. He's not talking about that. But He's talking about a matter of priority, of seeking God first, making that choice that we want to be His disciple, we want to follow Him, and we want to do it in a way that's going to be pleasing unto Him. And when we've got that priority set right, He blesses us with other things. And then we can thank Him for the blessings that we've received and rejoice in them and enjoy them in this life. But self-denial is a matter of recognizing that God comes first. That He's the one that has saved us from our sins. He deserves our heart's affection. He deserves our praise and our adoration. He deserves for us to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then pursue that. And He'll help us every step of the way. And so denying ourselves is to separate ourselves from giving self that first and best priority. And not worshiping self, but worshiping the Lord. Loosen that grip on self-reliance and selfish pursuits. Loosen the grip in order to say, Lord, if it be your will, help me to do this and that. If it's your will. See, that's what we're doing first and foremost is seeking, Lord, if it's your will. That's what we need every step of the way. So He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Then He says, and take up his cross daily. Taking up a cross. Wow, that brings some images to mind, doesn't it? Stop and think about when they laid the cross upon Jesus for Him to be crucified. All right? That's the only reason they laid a cross on Him, wasn't it? That was where He was headed. All right? Think about that for just a moment. He's telling us, in some sense, to take up a cross. In other words, there's something we're going to need to embrace. There's something we need to lay hold upon. And it's something that we need to embrace to such an extent that we would be willing to separate ourselves from even life itself. Now think about this. Jesus. Now, I know they compelled Simon the Cyrenian after a while to carry that cross the rest of the way. But there you see a picture that Jesus gave all the physical, natural strength that He had. I mean, He was willing to give it all. That's what we're talking about. When we take up our cross, it's not, well, let's see how this is going to work today. It's a commitment. Lord, you went to your death for me. Surely I can live for you. Isn't that what we're talking about? Taking up our cross. All right? Now, what that means also is that we're willing, we're making a commitment here, and we're willing, and when I say willing, let's even add the word cheerfully. We are willing, cheerfully, to also embrace whatever consequences will come because we're following the Lord. to take up that cross, to be faithful to the Lord, and to deny self, there's going to be some consequences, isn't there? There's going to be some choices that have to be made. Are we going to continue to be faithful to the Lord, or are we going to blend in some situations? You know, I used to think that, boy, if I could just ever get out of school, you know, that so many things that I was confronted with, I wouldn't have to worry about anymore. Well, you know, it doesn't end there. It may be different in some respects, but we're talking about a lifelong pursuit. We're talking about when we take up that cross, there needs to be that commitment there that will be stronger than whatever circumstances we face. And again, the Lord's not expecting us to handle it in our own strength. All right? Several of the messages that we've preached lately seems like we've been dealing with that theme, that we're not looking to try to accomplish these things in our own strength. We're begging for the Lord's help. We're looking to Him, and He's pleased to supply everything we need in service to Him. Do you believe that? Then that ought to encourage us to take up that cross, shouldn't it? That ought to encourage us to be faithful to the Lord, knowing that He's not only going to supply us with the grace and strength that we need, but He's also going to help us with the consequences. We don't have to worry about our back, if you will. The Lord's our rearward, right? He's watching over us. If He's called us into this service, and if we are trying to be faithful to Him, then He's watching over us and He'll care for us. Doesn't mean that you won't have to struggle. Doesn't mean that you won't have some hard times. It doesn't mean that we won't have some difficult situations. But it does mean that if we're trying to please the Lord, He will be with us and strengthen us. And so He calls upon us. If any man will be like me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. It's not a one-time thing, is it? Every day. We've said many times, when we wake up in the morning, we would do well to start praying. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but You do. And I'm going to need Your help. Need Your strength. Don't you know that honors the Lord? Don't you know He's pleased when we pray like that? And we won't nearly be as surprised when something happens to us. And because we're already in the frame of mind that we need the Lord. And so when those things happen, it's just a matter of clinging to Him a little tighter, isn't it? Not trying to go find Him, but clinging to Him with purpose of heart, saying, Lord, we need You. Help us. Oh, what a blessing that is as we go through our day in such a way. And so to take up our cross daily. This discipleship is a daily way of life. It's not a Sunday morning activity. It's not a Wednesday night activity. It's not a holiday activity. It's an everyday life. What a blessing that the Lord's with us every day. Aren't you glad that He's with us all the time? Aren't you glad that we don't just have to come here to find the Lord? He's with us in our hearts. Never separates Himself from us. Oh, there may be times that He distances Himself to get our attention. But that's good for us, isn't it? All right? Okay. So let Him take up His cross daily. And follow me. Follow me. That expression is just staying with me. Follow me. Think about what He's saying. Take that expression now and just kind of, in your mind, just go through your day. Are we following the Lord? Think about the things that we go, how we start our day. Are we asking the Lord to be with us, to lead us and guide us, to watch over us, protect us, bless our loved ones, be with them and help them in all that they are facing? So if you're starting your day out that way, you're following Him, because you're looking to Him for what you stand in need of. And we are wholly dependent upon our Lord for His mercy and His blessings and His grace upon us each day. But we need that so that we can continue in His way. Without it, we're going to falter and stumble along the way, aren't we? Okay? To follow Him. Follow Him where? Well, wherever He leads. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, 1 Peter 2:21, he says, "For even hereunto were you called." Now, wouldn't you say that someone who has a desire to follow Jesus has been called by the Spirit? You know, they've had that effectual calling. They're born again. They have the Spirit of God working in them, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All right? So Peter says, "For even hereunto were you called." He's been talking about suffering and the struggles that we oftentimes have in this life. He says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us." He's already been there. He's already suffered for us far more than we'll ever suffer in this life. And I don't mean to belittle the sufferings that many people have, because many people have heavy burdens, terrible afflictions. Some have had them all their lives. And still, with confidence, I can say that we'll never have to endure more than Jesus endured for us. Not only did He endure that tremendous physical affliction of the sufferings that was put upon Him in those last hours before He died, but He faced the wrath of God for us. He was actually made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, I tell you, that ought to cause thanksgiving to pour forth from our voice and our lips every day we live. So He says, "Even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us," but watch this, "leaving us an example." So if we're going to follow Him, we need to be following this example, don't we? All right, so regardless of where we might go in following Him, it's how we go about it. Leaving us an example. And I'm sure I've told you several times that this word example here is one of those unique Greek words. Not necessarily that you know that, but it's just kind of an interesting little tidbit here. That word example here is the only time that word in the original language was used in the New Testament. And it's not just an example that we would provide. You know, we try to provide the best example we can, don't we? But we come short. We come short of perfection. But the example Jesus provided is perfection. No shortcomings. Nothing came short in the example Jesus gave us, because He displayed absolute righteousness in all that He did. He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in His perfection, as He manifested the Father in everything that He did, bless your hearts, that example is there for us. There is no better example. Could not be any better example. It's there for us at all times, so that we know how we can follow Him. But in the leadership of His Holy Spirit, He leads us where we need to go. All right? And if we have a good understanding of His footsteps and how He went about doing things, that'll help us there as well, won't it? So not only do we need to know how to follow Him and understand how it was that he lived his life here and what his word says as to how we should follow him. But also, we need to be following the leadership of his Spirit as to where we go. You know, the Lord does put those impressions upon our hearts. Now, I know there's people that talks about the Lord speaks to them and they hear his voice, and I'm glad that happens for them. It never has happened for me. But I do get impressions of the heart. I do get the leadership of his Spirit. I do get condemnation when I've done something wrong, or it seems like that most of the time is when I haven't done what I should. You have one of those? But that Spirit is there, leading us, guiding us, working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and impressing upon our heart and in our mind the things that we need to be doing. Maybe it's to give somebody a phone call. Maybe it's to go by and see somebody. Maybe it's somebody that you know that's going through some struggles and they need some encouragement, or maybe even some help that you might be able to provide. See, all of this is denying self and living for others. And that's a great deal of the growth that we are to experience as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as learning how to spend more of our efforts in doing for others. That's what he did. He went about doing good, and what he was doing for others. All right, so he said, Peter, again, he said, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Don't you love just reading about Jesus? What the scriptures tell us about what he did, what he said, many times that he was in prayer. One of these accounts of this particular passage talk about when he had finished praying, the disciples came to him. Was it this one? No, it's not this one, but one of the others. But when he had finished praying, you know, you stop and think about it. We encourage you to pray. I try to do as much as I can in the way of praying. But when we stop and realize that Jesus spent a lot of time during his ministry in prayer, that ought to impress upon our mind and our heart the great need for us to pray. If Jesus, who is perfect, who all power was given unto him both in heaven and in earth, spent time in prayer, how much more shall we be spending time in prayer? All right? So let him deny himself, if we're going to be his disciple, take up our cross daily, and follow me. Let me give you another point about this following him. He said, follow me. Now, we began this by talking about how he said, if any man will come after me, which means any man will be like me. So as we follow him, we should do what he would do. You know, I liked that expression that we used to hear a lot, what would Jesus do? I liked that. I think that's a great phrase to keep in mind. If we're going to follow him, we need to follow him in the way that he would go. We need to follow him and respond to things the way he did. We need to separate ourselves from some of the things of this world that would not lead us closer to the Lord. Following him, there's just a lot of aspects about how we would go about this following. But let me notice in John chapter 12. All right, John chapter 12, and this is, again, a very similar thought here that he's expressing. But John, as he so oftentimes does, puts it in a little different perspective. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they go through many of the examples, the parables, many of the things that they follow through the ministry of the Lord Jesus. John doesn't really follow through from one event to the next. He deals more with subject matter. And so when we find here in John chapter 12, in verse, let me back up to 23. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it." Now, we encountered that in what we read to you from Luke's account of this in chapter 9. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." We'll have more to say about that in just a moment. But verse 26, "If any man serve me," now consider what he's saying, "if any man serve me," is it possible that sometimes what people do, they're really doing it to benefit themselves? So if we're not careful sometimes, there may be things that we do to serve ourselves. "If any man serve me," he's calling upon us to pause, consider our motives. Consider the purity of our heart. Consider what we're doing. "If any man serve me, let him follow me." So again, we're back to the idea, if any man will be like me, if any man will come after me, there's some things that has to happen in order to follow him. So he says here, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." In other words, if we're going to be serving the Lord, we need to do it like he does. We need to be doing it for his glory. We need to be doing it for his, for love for him, and to be a help to others. For he goes on to say, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be." All right? If anyone serves him, let him follow him. Isn't it wonderful when we can see Christ in the lives of others? When we can see the love of God being manifested toward other people, folks giving of themselves and doing whatever they can to be a help to somebody else. I mean, you can see Christ in that, can't you? He's there. If we're serving him, if we're following him, he's there. He's there with us. He's there helping us. He's there empowering us, enabling us. He's there when we're simply trying our best to do what's pleasing unto him and following him. He is there with us. Being a disciple, letting others see Christ through what you're doing so that they can see that he's there. That's what being a disciple is all about, being more like the Master so that others can see Christ in us and let him be glorified. "If any man will come after me, be like him. Let him deny himself." If others are seeing you and what you're doing, it's not glorifying Christ. That's why we have to deny ourselves. We want this to be to the glory of God. We want this to be the glory of Christ. That's how you let your light shine, isn't it? See, there's so many ways that this principle is presented to us in the Scriptures, and it all boils down to the same thing. If we're going to be a faithful disciple to the Lord, then we need to be more like him. We need to deny our own selves and take up our cross in a way of commitment, willing to face the consequences, willing to endure the consequences of being faithful to the Lord and continuing to follow Him. Now, I read to you, time's about gone, but I read to you those other verses after verse 23 in Luke chapter 9. Those other verses where it talks about saving your life and losing it. And some of that language can get confusing. All right? Let me put it to you this way. There is nothing that either I or you, either one, there's nothing that we can do to affect eternity. We've been given eternal life. We've been blessed, and because it's eternal life, then and we understand the doctrine of eternal security, so nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing we can do to change or affect eternity. So he's got to be talking, if he's telling us to do something, it's got to be to affect this life, right? All right? Now, so when if he's talking about losing your life, then he's talking about in this world. And certainly we can lose the joys of our salvation. Certainly we can lose our testimony. Certainly we can lose our witness before others and fall away. That can happen. I'm thankful that we're preserved in Christ Jesus, because there are some that have in the scriptures, like Lot and like Solomon, okay, and if Solomon doesn't give you an example of not putting too much trust in man's wisdom, I don't know what does. All right? But if we're talking about losing our life, we have to be talking about things that we can affect. If he's calling upon us to do something, and if we don't do it the right way, then we can lose something. It has to be in this life, because he has taken care of our eternal life. So, since we can't do anything to affect eternity, then every day we have choices about what the quality of our life will be in following Jesus. And whether we'll rejoice in the blessings of that day, or whether it will separate us a little farther in fellowship from God. That's what he's talking about. If we're willing to give up, if we're willing to deny self, that we might serve the Lord better, he's going to bless our life. You're going to find it. But if we choose to be selfish and choose not to deny self, we're going to lose as being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when he said that there should be some standing here that shall not see death until they see the kingdom of God, my persuasion is he was impressing upon them there's consequences in this life to not following and not denying ourselves. Let me give you, as we're closing here, do you remember the passage that speaks about the rich young ruler? Came to Jesus, said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay. And he said, "What saith the commandments?" And he named off all the commandments, didn't he? Well, not all of them, did he? He left out one. He left out the one about being covetous. And so the Lord told him, and by the way, this is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of those speak about this rich young ruler, that we know him as the rich young ruler. All right? He says, and it's worded variously, so I'm just going to give you the summary here. He says, "Go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and come follow me. If he had done that, would he have been blessed? I'm thankful that you said yes. But we know that he didn't do that, right? Now, Jesus was making a point because, listen, we don't find in Scripture that he told Abraham to sell all that he had in order to be faithful to God. And Abraham was a rich man. He didn't tell Job to give away all that he had. Job was a wealthy man. Okay? But it's when that wealth creates a problem in serving God that it becomes an issue. And that's with the rich young ruler. Jesus turned to his disciples after that and says, "How hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom?" In other words, those that are trusting in their riches. How hardly. It's going to be difficult, very difficult for them to enter into the joys of the kingdom of God here when they're holding on to those things. So the point wasn't so much that the man needed to divest himself of all of those things. It was that he had such a hold on all of those things, it was hindering him from serving the Lord. That was the point Jesus was making. And when he told him, "Sell what thou hast, give to the poor, and come follow me." Remember what happened? Mark 10:22 says, he went away sad. He went away sad. Jesus had told him truth. Jesus had told him something that would bring joy to his life. And he rejected it. He went away sad. If you read what Matthew says about it, it says Matthew says he went away sorrowful. Okay? But if you read what Luke says about it, it says he went away very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Choices. What choices are we making? What are we choosing? Be faithful to the Lord? Trust Him? Or trust in our own selves? We love the 23rd Psalm, don't we? Do you remember the last verse? It's only 6 verses. I believe this is to every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that a good place to be? Isn't that a good path to follow? For joy and peace here in this life. If any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you do that, you'll be blessed. May God bless you, is our prayer.